WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
Thank you, Digital Henry. Good morning. It's the 3rd of February, 2020. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Tufts Freeform Radio here in Medford. I'm going to go ahead and start things off with episode 416 of Gunsmoke, although I don't think that that's the actual episode number. It's titled Indian Baby, with an original air date of the 27th of March, 1960. Thanks for listening.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Come on now. In you go. Chester, open up the cell. We got a customer.
Yes, sir. Gracious me, Mr. Dillon. Don't look like he could sober up in a month or something.
Yeah, well, he's been working at it good and steady. All right, in you go. Come on.
Know who he is, Mr. Dillon?
No, I don't think I've ever seen him before. He wasn't in any shape to tell me his name.
I ain't sure he'll ever remember it, the way he looks.
Well, we'll give him time to recollect. Yeah, come on, Chester. Let's go get some breakfast.
You sure did a good job there, Doc. That's a beautiful little girl of Molly's.
Oh, I can't take much credit for that, Kitty.
No, but you didn't hurt her any bringing her into the world.
Well, I tell you, Kitty, if every woman was as sensible about having children as Molly is, a lot of doctors would be out of work.
Well, she's had a lot of practice. I'll say that for her.
But that brood of kids running around, she doesn't have much time to fuss about having another one, I guess.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was good to see her again. She never has time to come into town anymore.
I should think not.
And I don't have much time to get out of town. Oh, even the dry prairie looks good to me. Look there. Lying in the road.
Oh, yeah. I see it, Kitty. Oh, there.
What? It's a woman. How is she, Doc? Is she alive?
Oh, great Scott.
Doc, what is it?
Well, she's got a baby, Kitty. She was almost lying on top of a baby.
A baby?
That's what I said, a baby. Here. Here, Kitty, hold it.
Yeah. Sure, Doc.
Yeah. I want to get that woman into town just as fast as I can.
Can I help you move her?
I'll make it. Poor thing, she's just skin and bones. Hey, now, Kitty, you see if you can support her head a little bit, will you? Hold the baby in your other arm.
Yeah, all right, Doc. There. Is this all right?
Oh, that's fine, yeah. All right, now, we'll go.
Doc.
Yes, Kitty?
Did you call this her baby?
Well, sure I did. She was holding it so close, she was nearly smothering it.
I don't think the baby is hers.
Oh, what kind of foolishness is that?
She's a white woman, isn't she?
Well, you can see for yourself she's a white woman.
Well, I just got a good look at the baby's face. It's an Indian baby, Doc.
Indian? Here, well, let me have a look at it. Please. By George, Kitty, I believe you're right.
Well, sure I'm right.
Well, no matter. We'd best get the both of them back to town. So come on, come on. Up, up. Matt.
Where did you expect me to be?
Well, I never expect to find you in your office, I'll tell you that.
That nice buggy ride out in the country with Kitty didn't improve your disposition much, did it?
Nice buggy ride. I made 3 calls, chopped a load of wood for old Lady Thomas, and brought another patient into town.
All right, Doc, all right. I didn't mean to insult you with the idea of having a good time.
As a matter of fact, Matt, it might be a good idea for you to talk to the patient I brought in.
Why? Has he been shot?
It's a woman.
All right, then. Has she been shot?
No, but she's in bad shape from exhaustion and exposure. And she has a baby with her.
What? Well, that sounds more in your line than mine.
I'm not so sure, Matt. You see, she's a white woman. But the baby is Indian.
Well, those things happen sometimes, don't they?
Of course they happen. If you'll just listen to me, I'll tell you why I think this is different.
All right, Doc.
I don't think the baby's hers. I think she kidnapped it.
Kidnapped? Maybe I better have a talk with her.
But please go easy with the matter. Whatever she's been through has been very hard on her.
Well, do you want me to see her or not?
I want you to see her.
All right. Come on.
I think so. Go ahead and try.
Huh? All right. Ma'am? Ma'am? I'd like to talk to you, ma'am. And the marshal. About the baby.
My baby. My baby.
That's what I'd like to know about, ma'am. The baby.
Where is he? Give him to me.
It's all right. It's all right. He's right here.
No. No. They took him. They killed my baby.
Who killed him, ma'am?
The savage. The savage Indian. Joe.
Doc, you know who Joe is?
I think he must be her husband. The way she keeps calling his name.
Yeah. Ma'am, where is your husband?
Joe.
Where is he, Joe?
Run off. Joe, run off. Baby. My baby. Give him to me.
This isn't your baby, is it, ma'am?
They killed my baby.
I know, but this baby. Where did you get this baby?
A woman needs a baby. Give him to me.
I'm going to give him to her, Matt. It may quiet her and bring her out of this.
All right, Doc.
There you are. You just hold him there, quiet and gentle.
Baby.
Ma'am, he's an Indian baby.
They took my baby.
So you took this one?
Baby. Joe.
I guess there's no use talking to her anymore, Matt.
Joe.
Maybe later.
Yeah. All right, Doc. Maybe I'll know more about it later myself.
It's all right with me, Mr. Dillon, riding way out here and all that.
I'm glad to hear that, Chester.
But it don't seem to me that you can be sure of getting anywhere just picking out any little old bunch of Indians and asking them about one little old baby. It's like that needle in a haystack the fellow was telling me about.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No, sir, it just don't figure to prove out.
It won't prove out if we don't start somewhere, either.
Well, yes, I guess you're right, but I...
Do me a favor, will you, Chester?
Well, sure I will, Mr. Dillon. I'd be proud to.
Just keep your doubts to yourself until I get through here, will you?
Sure, I sure will.
All right. Now, we'll leave the horses here.
Magic.
Don't look like there's nobody here, but just the squaws and kids.
Yeah. Men are probably off hunting.
Reckon so. Well, there's one, Mr. Dillon. There's a brave.
Yeah, it's old Hawkwing. You stay here, Chester. I'll go talk to him.
Thank you.
I've come to talk, Hawkwing.
It is well.
Sounds like you want to talk to me, too.
It is well the marshal comes before the young men return from hunting.
All right, Hawkwing, you tell me what's on your mind first.
The marshal knows. It's a baby.
Mm-hmm. But there are two babies, Hawkwing.
A baby is missing from the lodges. When the young men come back, there will be trouble.
I want to talk about a white baby.
The white baby is dead.
It is said that your people took the white baby. That your people killed it.
That's not true.
But you know the white baby is dead.
My people buried white baby.
Tell me what happened, Hawkwing.
Baby lay dead of fever in arms of mother. My people bury baby. The women brought the mother to the lodges.
What happened to the mother?
The marshal asked that question.
You tell me, Hawkwing.
Mother walked out into the night. She took baby of my people.
You know this to be true?
I know this to be true.
All right, Hawkwing. I was afraid it might be.
It would be well if baby come back before young men return.
Yeah. I think you may be right about that.
Well, sure, she's better, Matt. I had her moved here to Ma Smalley's so she could be quiet for a while. I found out her name's Dory. That's all.
Maybe she'll talk to me this time.
She's able to, that's all I can say. Whether she will or not is another matter.
Yeah. Well, let's go in and see.
Ma put her in a room on the first floor. Here it is. It's me, Dory. Doc Adams. I brought the marshal. He'd like to talk to you.
I don't want to see him.
It won't take long, Dory. It's important.
Please, go away.
I can't, Dory. I've got to talk to you about the baby.
My baby.
Well, that's just it. I'm afraid he isn't yours.
I'll care for him, Marshal.
Well, I'm sure you would, Dory, but he still isn't yours, is he?
Mother has a right to a baby.
An Indian mother has a right to a baby, too.
But they took my baby, Marshal. They killed my baby.
Your baby was sick, Dory. Isn't that so? Your baby died.
They buried my baby. The savages buried my baby.
The Indian women were trying to help you.
They took my baby right out of my arms.
Because he was dead, Dory. Now, you really know that, don't you? Don't you, Dory?
Doc?
Go ahead, Dory. It'll be better if you face up to it.
I guess I know it, Marshal. But the fever and all...
Yes, I know you've been sick. And that may save your life.
What do you mean?
And the Indians may be willing to let it go at that, when they get their baby back.
A baby?
You'll have to give him back, Dory.
Maybe they won't know, Marshal. They've got lots of babies. Maybe they won't care.
They know. They care. We'll have to give him back.
But, Marshal...
Listen to me, Dory. I'm sorry for you. But I'm not so sorry for you that I'll risk an Indian uprising. The baby has to go back, or your life won't be safe. Lots of lives won't be safe.
Doc?
But he's right, Dory. Do what he says.
Can I have him just tonight, Marshal? And you take him in the morning?
And I guess that's all right, Dory. It's too late to get out there tonight anyway. But I'll have to take him the first thing in the morning.
All right, Marshal. First thing in the morning.
Here's your coffee.
Don't seem none too hot.
You're about as ungrateful of a prisoner as I've ever fed. Of course, it's a mite early, but the marshal and me has to ride out the Indian camp.
You gonna let me out?
Maybe he will at that. He's got an awful lot on his mind over that woman and her baby.
I've been locked up long enough. What woman you talking about?
Why, that woman that took a baby from the Indians, walked right out of their camp with it, nice as you please.
Who is she?
I don't know. Some woman the Indians found way out west of town somewheres. Seems her baby got killed or something, and she went and kidnapped herself an Indian baby.
What's her name?
I ain't never heard her name.
Look, you better turn me loose right now.
Well, why? What? Then you listen here.
Marshal!
I've got authority to...
Yes. Marshal!
Here.
Lay out of here.
What's the trouble,
Marshal, I don't know, Mr. Dillon. This fellow suddenly started going crazy.
Marshal, the woman and the baby. What's her name?
I only know her first name. It's Dory.
That's my wife.
There you go.
Now, let me out. Let me out!
Just wait a minute, will you? Wait a minute. You weren't doing her much good when she needed you before.
I thought she was dead, Marshal. I thought they was both dead. I rode off to get help.
Well, it was awful sick.
Yeah, I know.
I got lost, Marshal. I didn't find nobody, and when I got back the wagon, I seen the grave. I thought they was dead. I ain't cared about nothing since.
I can believe that. All right, let him out, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Tell me your name.
Joe Dant.
Now, Dant, your wife needs you pretty bad right now. I think you better go to her.
Well, I sure want to do that, Marshal. Where is she?
Well, she...
Matt! Matt!
I'm in the back here, Doc. Yeah, what is it?
The woman, Dory. She's taken the baby and gone.
She did what?
Dory's gone.
Get the horses, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Get one for Dant, too. His wife's going to be needing him more than ever now.
I'll say this for her. That woman can sure drive a buggy at a good clip.
Dory can drive, all right.
Let's just hope she can drive fast enough this time.
You think she might be able to get away, Mr. Dillon?
If the Braves haven't come back from hunting, she might have a chance.
Marshal?
Yeah, Dan?
If the engines get her with that baby, what'll they do to her?
I don't know. They have their own laws. I don't know what they'll do.
Mr. Dillon, look yonder. The buggy.
Yeah.
He sure did wreck it.
There are quite a bunch of them. Look at those tracks.
You think they got her?
Yeah. I think they got her. Come on.
Braves is sure back all right, Mr. Dillon. Look at them horses.
Must be a couple dozen.
Yeah, they're back all right.
Do we go in shooting?
You were born with more sense than that. We go in shooting, we're dead as soon as we get there.
Well, how do you figure it then, Marshal?
We walk in as quiet as we can and hope we can get out the same way. Let's leave the horses here. Walk slow and easy and let me do the talking.
She's my wife.
You better hope it'll stay that way. Just don't start anything. The quieter we are, the better our chances are.
Sure.
Up there. They're lined up. Waiting for us.
Yeah. Just walk easy. All right, just far enough. I've come to talk with Hawkwing. Send for him.
He's going after him?
Yeah.
Dory. I see Dory.
Take
She's there.
Take it easy.
Well, they got her tied up.
Wait a minute, Dad. Wait a minute.
Get your hands off me.
Is he unconscious, Mr. Dillon?
He's lucky he isn't dead.
You're a brave man to come here now, Marshal.
I've come to ask that your people be merciful. I've come for the woman.
It is not decided about the woman.
She's seen much trouble, Hawkwing.
She took baby from my people.
The woman was sick with fever, Hawkwing. There was an evil spirit with her.
My people had not harmed her, yet she took baby.
The baby's back. The baby's unharmed. Let her go, Hawkwing.
I have told you it is not decided about the woman. Man you struck down. Who is he?
He is the white woman's husband.
When she was found, the white woman and baby, there was no husband.
It is, I said, Hawkwing, she was sick with fever. The husband had gone for help. She needs help now.
Her husband cannot help her now.
No, Hawkwing. Your people are the only ones who can help her now.
Mr. Dillon, that Indian woman with the baby, she's coming up here.
Just keep quiet, Chester.
I am the mother, Hawkwing. Let me speak.
Little bird has suffered.
I know, and I'm sorry.
But white mother has suffered more. My baby is back with me. He shows good care. Her baby will never come back.
What are you saying, little bird?
I wish white mother go free.
You do not wish that she be punished?
She has been punished enough.
Come then. We will tell the council.
You think they will set her free, Mr. Dillon?
I think they will, Chester. Indians think pretty straight. And I have an idea that Dory and Joe will be able to start all over again.
In Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Marion Clark, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Gene Bates, Ralph Moody, and Vic Perrin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story on Gunsmoke.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry, for that FCC obligation. We heard Gunsmoke, Indian Baby, with an original air date of the 27th of March, 1960. Like I said, I questioned some of these facts about this one. But in honor of Black History Month, I'm going to go ahead and play Destination Freedom, that was created and written by Richard Durham. He also did some stuff for the CBS Radio Workshop. Destination Freedom was known because it was the rep company that worked the show. It was headed by all black performers. This is the story of 1875 with an original air date of the 29th of August, 1948. My name is Arthur, and this is the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM. And or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Thanks.
Destination Freedom. The Chicago Defender and station WMAQ bring you Destination Freedom, a new radio series dramatizing the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, interwoven in the pageant of history and a part of America's own Destination Freedom.
Today, Destination Freedom tells the story of the Reconstruction leader Charles Caldwell in a chapter entitled The Story of 1875.
I am a year. Of course, you know all about years. We inherit the habits of history. Men go by names. We go by numbers. I bear the number 1875 A.D. I came into the world with my faults, my blunders, my heroes, and my cowards, just 10 years after the Civil War. I inherited the ideas of the years before me. I set the seeds for the years to follow me. I was the year 1875, and in Mississippi on January 1st, in the morning of my first day alive, 10 men in odd regalia came to the home of Senator Charles Caldwell and woke his wife.
Who is it? What do you want?
What do we want, she says.
You hear that, boys?
Tell her what we want. She ought to know.
Who are you? If this is a New Year's joke, I
don't... Well, she thinks it's a joke, boys. We got to visit this county more often. People ain't heard about the organization. Fred, take a look around inside.
Sure, Wade, sure.
I said, what do you want?
Woman, what could 10 men with 16 shotguns want to do with a senator who goes up and down the state preaching race equality and yelling for the new voting laws?
Yeah. Where's Caldwell?
Come on, where's the senator? Where's your old man?
He's not home. No one's here but me.
He's telling us straight, Wade. Nobody in there. Nobody's around.
You sure?
Well, come on, let's go to Clinton. If he ain't here, he'll be in Clinton.
What do you want with him? What has he done to you?
He's tried to fix it so people like me can't live here. So ex-slaves and poor whites will be running and ruining the county.
That's right.
Those like him got no business playing Senate.
The people elected.
Ah, the people. She calls them people.
Yeah, let her alone, Wade. Let's go to Clinton.
Well, first, I want his old woman to know we'll be back.
Not tonight, Wade. He'll have them scalawags and Yanks with him.
Not tonight, woman, but some night we'll get him. Maybe it'll take days, weeks, or months, but we'll get him before he gets us. Him and his Yankee songs and his scalawags and poor white friends. We'll get him 40 years out.
That was the way I started out in Mississippi. I was a Reconstruction year. They were the men who wanted to make me over like the old years. And on New Year's night in his home, the senator who had once been a slave was singing with men who were carrying me ahead to a new freedom.
Enough, lads. Now it's late. Surely you can see Mrs. Caldwell getting ready, tired of us, and being here and keeping the senator up.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, it is. Now it's time we left him.
Not so fast, Sarah. I haven't heard the senator say a word all evening. He's just been listening to us.
Yes, how about it, Caldwell? How about drinking a toast? A toast to the new year, Senator, and the coming election.
Yes, give us a speech, Senator. Speech.
You want me making speeches when we ought to be making merry on New Year's night?
Sure, go on. A word from the state, Senator. Go on.
Come on.
They say it's not so hard to get you talking when you're on the Senate floor.
They say you did plenty of talking to stop the planters from holding on to the taxes.
All right, gentlemen, I'll say a word. A word I would have said to the men in white robes who came looking for me today. Something Lincoln said.
Now, Charles, don't keep quoting Mr. Lincoln.
Maze of Fred, I'll come to the same end as Lincoln if I keep using the same words. I'll say this. We're starting out on a good year, friends, all of us. Men who 10 years ago would never have been allowed to live together as free and equal men. I was a slave. Ira was a carpenter for the slaveholder.
Aye, and they ain't paid me last year's wages yet.
And Grant's a slave. Mason, Cabell, 10 years ago you were overseers, remember it?
I've never quite forgotten it.
And here we're together, on the same side, on the ground that was once a plantation, planning how to make it so there'll be more freedom, sure freedom for everyone this year. And we'll do it. There's a civil rights bill to be passed in Washington that'll wipe out every trace of the old system, gentlemen. The last 10 years have been good. This'll be better.
It won't be better.
All over the county, we hear of men who demand the right to be free of plantations being beaten and driven back.
Well, there's no denying it, Senator. As fast as the federal troops leave, mobs led by the old planters spring up and call themselves clans.
I was right. It's going to be different from now on, Senator. They defy the law and they're getting bolder. There's nothing we can do to stop them. They're strong.
They're weaker than we are, Cabell. We, the poor whites and the Negro freedmen, we are the majority, not the old slaveholders. We know they organize bands against us and wait on their plantations like wounded lions, ready to split us apart when we quarrel. But for 8 years, we've been together. You've even elected me a senator. They voted against us. We were stronger.
I don't know now, bro.
And we'll get on with reconstructing the state for the benefit of all the people in it, not for a few who still hold the land.
Yeah, but when the troops are withdrawn, Senator...
The governor has promised that the troops will stay until the changes are made.
But the planters, they're still waiting for a chance to...
Let them wait. They're Bourbons now, like the old Bourbons in France, clinging to an old, decayed way of living. They'll defy the new Civil Rights Amendment. They'll poison us in their papers. They'll play one of us against the other. But if we keep white and Negro together here in the South for 5 more years, we'll win out. We'll have a democracy. Now, there. I've made a speech. May always says you can't keep me from making a speech.
Well, that's what we came to hear and what we need, too, to start off the new year. A toast, gentlemen, and we'll drink it in good old Scotch whiskey. All right, what'll it be, Senator? What's on your calendar that's important? A toast to it.
To this year's election. May every man in the South, black and white, be free to vote.
Here, here.
Cabell, you're not drinking.
Not Scotch, Senator. My taste is for bourbon this year.
Yes, I was the year when a few men with a taste for old times wanted to turn back. But those who believed they could build better years went ahead. And while my months passed, the senator, who had been a slave, went about his business of binding people together. With fresh copies of the new amendment that had been agreed upon, he traveled throughout the county. He took the words to the farmers and freedmen and told them to read it.
This the law about voting, Senator?
It's the new law, Mr. Jones.
What's it like, Senator? What's it mean?
It says what it means. Read it and tell everybody about it.
Well, it says 14th Amendment.
Yes.
Says the right of citizens to vote should not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. It means this state, too?
This state, too.
And it says the Congress shall have the power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation.
It means for the first time, Negroes will vote in the state. It means you'll get a new weapon. Hold on to it. This year you'll need it.
And the senator went on telling more people about the new right, and they were behind him. Even in the legislature, he helped pass new bills over the objection of the old planters. Together, the white men and black men were making a new South. The senator, who had been a slave, stood in the legislature and put new ideas into law.
Chair recognizes Senator Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, in accordance with the 13th Amendment, I'm proposing that we abolish all segregation in the state of Mississippi.
And his proposal was made into law, and he rose again.
Chair recognizes Senator Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, to put teeth in the bill against segregation, I offer an amendment to provide a fine of $5,000 against any officer or agent of any railroad or vessel guilty of Jim Crowism. I offer a bill to recognize the property rights of women, to establish free public schools, unsegregated as to race, creed, or color.
A And before I, the year 1875, had passed many months, the laws were written and agreed on. They stood on the books. But there were men who stood outside the law. There was the planter Preston Whipper. He was one of the wounded lions waiting for his years to come back. He spat when the senator passed.
Good morning, Mr. Whipper.
What's good about it, slave?
This is the last morning of the old laws segregating citizens in our state, Mr. Whipper.
For a man who's just been 10 years free, you got an awful lot to do with the laws.
The law's everybody's business.
The likes of you ain't got no business with it. I've said it before and I'll say it again.
I've heard your words before.
And when you hear me again, it won't be with words and laws. One day, slave senator, the poor whites will be united with me, not with you.
What is there for anyone to unite on with you?
Race.
Suppose they'd rather unite for the right to vote and be equal under the law. Suppose they don't go with you.
Those who don't want to join with me, we have our ways of persuading. One day we'll put an end to you and your reconstruction. Next time when night riders come your way, you'll not live to tell about it.
The senator heard, but the senator went on his way. Then slowly the days in my year began to change. There were jobless men and hungry men joining the riders, looking for the leaders of the Reconstruction. And they would come on horseback and knock on the doors at night.
Hold up, Ed.
Is this here the place, Bob?
Sure, it's the Jones place. I saw him with the senator.
It's him, all right. I know his place.
Knock.
Sure.
Oh, boy.
What is it? What do you want?
Open that door. We'll break it in.
Who? What do you want? What is it?
If a man who's facing a shotgun, he talks too big, don't he?
I'm asking what you want.
We didn't come to give you what you deserve. We'll just give you a warning.
What? What have I done?
Go on, Wade. Give it to him. Both barrels.
I tell you, put down the gun. Haven't done anything.
Yeah, sure, Wade. Put down the gun and take the rope. Maybe that'll teach him to stay away from ex-slaves like that Caldwell and to vote the way he's told when it's time to vote. Go on, Wade. Teach him.
Ah, he's scared already. Don't need teaching. Just remind it. Remind him, and maybe he'll join us in the fun.
Fun?
Yeah. Putting folks back in the line. Teaching them self-respect instead of cooperating with ex-slaves. You'll come along?
No, I'm not up to it. Please leave me alone. My wife's sick.
I know all about it. You just remember when you come to the polls. You vote right, or not at all.
They wanted men to forget the new right to vote, to put the right back into the hands of a few instead of the many. They had the rope, the faggot, and my days were filled with terror. And while I was in the middle of my months, the senator went to the governor. The governor listened. The governor was worried.
Everybody, every official on the Reconstruction side says the same thing, Caldwell. What can we do? The mobs are too strong for us to risk an open fight. Oh, let them alone. It'll blow over.
When we let it blow over, all the good we've done will be blown away with it. Unless people in the South are given a chance at free schools and education for both Negro and white, a chance to live in peace together, the freedom we fought for in the war will be lost. We've moved ahead. Don't turn back now. Make the law stick.
But how? How, Senator?
Enforce them.
There are too few troops to enforce anything. The planters raise their own armies. You once said the poor whites and the freedmen would be natural allies. Now the whites are going over to the side of the planters. You see that?
I see that. I know why. It's because the planters still own the land. They have the power to say, work for us or starve. They have the land. Now they want to take the last weapon of independence from the freedmen. That weapon is the right to vote. The election is coming in November, Governor. It'll be the most crucial election in the state. If freemen go to the polls and vote, we move ahead. The civil rights will stick. If they're driven away, there'll be no more free voting for Negroes or whites. I believe this.
And what do you want me to do?
Give me permission to organize our own militia, from the people, to fight the planters and keep down the clans.
Very well. See what you can do. There's not much time before November comes.
There was still time to bring together 300 men in the heart of Mississippi who joined to carry on the Reconstruction and to teach the new civil rights. There was still time, and the senator took it. They marched through the state, and the terror and the Klans were quiet. The Reconstruction went ahead. The senator stopped at the workshop of Carpenter Ira. He was building the new school.
How long will it take to put up the school, Ira?
Well, with things quiet like they are now, it ought to be, say, two or three years.
2 or 3 years. Wonder if I'll be here to see it finished.
Oh, sure you will. You worried about the election? Ah, don't be. I have the county that ain't scared for you, including me. If there's any voting, you'll be in.
A lot of the men are going over to the side of the plantation owners.
That's right. Yes, some of those we thought would stick have gone over. There was Cabella here, and there was Jones and Brown. They think it's safer.
And you, Ira? I see you've got a uniform of the Klan hanging here.
Uh-huh, yes. They came to me this morning, Senator. The men who led the mobs for the planters. And they were telling me to come on over to the master class. They say the Negroes be natural enemy.
Yes.
Yes. I told them to look at the schools we're building now. The slaveholders were in power 100 years. Yeah, but they never built any free schools for nobody, black nor white. And then this voting. They say it's for the white folks only. Well, I told them I never got a chance to vote when there was slavery. Oh, and then they said to me, think it over. And they give me this sheet for a uniform. Well, I ain't got no sheets at home, so I said, I'll take the whole idea home and sleep on it. That's what sheets are for, ain't they?
Then the senator went to friends and spread the news of Ira's stand. And it stiffened the men fighting to rebuild the South. And when the senator was tired, he went home to rest to wait for the voting month. But there was other news waiting for him. May was standing, waiting at the door.
You've had a message, Charles.
What is it? Have the mobs been here again?
No, not the mobs, but an invitation to the mobs.
What are you talking about?
Charles, there's no more Reconstruction. There's no more support from the governor. All the troops have been withdrawn.
Withdrawn?
Yes. The governor wired you. It had to be done, he said.
But he said he'd wait until after the voting was done. I told him why. I told him to give us time, a little more time.
There's no more time, Charles. What are you going to do?
We'll wait for the voting. We'll gather all our strength to test the new amendments. We'll let November tell what we'll do.
I am the month of November. I was the voting month. When I came, the senator welcomed me and went to work trying to make the days in my month quiet, peaceful days. The old planters were loose and the mobs were doing their work. Again, they covered the county on horseback with ropes and faggots, hammering on doors, pulling people out into the night. And as I came closer to the voting week, the senator went out to the farms and homes. Some men were afraid and wouldn't talk with him. And finally, he walked along the streets where mobs roamed. And they saw him and called out.
Well, look who's a-coming. Yeah, the slave senator.
Hey, boy, look who thinks he's going to get elected again.
He wants to talk. Let him talk. Let's hear it.
Now, what have you got to say about your civil rights? Your Reconstruction, Senator?
I've got to say, the rights are not only for me. And the Reconstructing is for every man among us. The right to vote is the right of all.
The right to vote in this state's for white men and white men only. You hear that, Senator?
I hear it. I don't believe it. I came to talk to you because a year ago, before you became a Fred, some of you sat in my home. Now you're afraid the planters won't hire you if you work with Negroes. They tell you to segregate Negroes, and you do it. If they say these rights are not for Negroes, what's to stop them from saying it's not for Catholics, Jews, Irish, the foreign-born? If the right to rule is for white men only, what will you say to the majority of the world which is not white? Listen.
Don't listen to them. You talked enough. You change nothing here, understand that? Get on, and stay away from the voting if you want to keep alive.
Gentlemen, I'd like to say...
You said enough. We're not listening. Your days are numbered, Senator. You live longer if you keep away from the polls.
I am the week when the voting began. And though he knew he was being watched, he was at the polls. There was terror in the streets and in the counties. The planters were turning time back 10 years. But the senator who had been a slave stood in line, waited for his ballot.
Name?
Oglesby Lee.
Uh-huh. You're not voting for none of them there scalawags or Negroes, are you?
Oh, no, sir. No, sir.
Well, good. Take your ballot, then. Next. You here?
I'm here.
They warned you not to show up here, Caldwell.
I heard them. Ballot, please.
Look, can't you tell when your side ain't winning? You know how many people they've given the rope and lashed to already? It's a white primary hereafter. Look, the planters have the power now. They got their own militia. I'm trying to help you.
You'll help more by giving a ballot to every man registered for it. You're holding up the voting.
All right. Here's your ballot. But if you take it, the planters will see to it that there'll come a day when a bullet will go with it.
And I was that day in the year 1875. I was a Christmas day, and the planters still celebrated the death of the Reconstruction. Still, they were unsure as long as leaders lived who remembered the civil rights and the new laws. I was a disastrous day when the men in the odd regalia came back. They knocked on the door of the senator's house.
Who's there? What do you want?
She still says, what do we want? Ah! Yeah, you hear that, Fred? Open that door, we'll blast it in! Give it.
You... What are you looking for?
Well, at least she recognizes us now. We're pretty well known around these parts since a year ago, eh, ma'am?
What do you want?
You know as well as I do what we want. That slave senator, where is he?
He's not here. I don't know where he is.
She's telling you right, Wade. I looked around. She's alone.
Why don't you let him alone?
Why don't he leave the voting alone? Him and his scallywags and their equal rights stuff.
You won the election. Let him alone.
The boss says it ain't safe leaving ideas like those in his head loose in the county. We'll stay here till we get him.
No, you stay in here, Wade. If he's any way, he's to Clinton. We got Cabell with us. He knows the senator's habits. On Christmas Day, he goes to Clinton. It's there we'll get him.
And on my day, the men in sheets went to Clinton to find the senator. And they spoke to Cabell, the ex-overseer.
Now, he'll be coming down the road, Cabell. You'll see him?
Yeah, I'll see him.
You know what to do. You know what we're told you.
I know.
Well, be sure you do. He knows you. He trusts you. You'll offer him a drink.
But if he refuses...
This is a holiday. You can insist, can't you? You'll take him to the open bar at Moe's. Sit him near the bar, his back to us. You understand?
Yeah.
Then when you raise your glass, tap it in a toast. That'll be the signal. We'll go to work.
Yeah.
You nervous?
The drink will help me.
You'll be rewarded. You'll earn a place in the order. Understand?
Yeah, but...
Can't you get someone else?
You with us or against us?
I'm with you. But he has a devilish way of knowing what's happening. He has a way...
Well, we got better ways. We picked a day and a place. Now you set the hour and a minute. We'll be watching.
I am the hour on the Christmas day, the year 1875, that was picked to spot the senator. And as I ticked into minutes, Cabell came to him and spoke.
Senator Caldwell?
Yes?
It's me, Senator, old Buck Cabell. Don't you recognize me?
Why, yes. It's been a year since I've last seen you at my house. New Year's Day, I believe.
Yeah, it was. World seemed to change a lot since then. Lots happened, some good, some bad. Would you care for a drink?
I haven't much time.
Oh, I just won on a holiday. I know how you feel about the election, the Reconstruction plans. This will make you feel better.
Well, maybe it will. May always said I'd end up like Lincoln.
And in my hour, according to plan, Cabell sat down with the senator in a booth near the bar.
Sit this way, Senator. Take this seat here, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. I know when my time's up.
What's that?
Nothing. You still drink bourbon?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Mind if I pour yours?
Not at all.
Yeah. Shall we make a toast?
If I can think of one this minute.
I am the minute in the hour in 1875 when the drink was poured and the senator raised his glass for the toast.
What were you going to say, Senator?
I was thinking of something Lincoln said. I had wanted to say it to men who tried to stop me from voting.
Yeah?
Lincoln said, liberty is the heritage of all men. Destroy it and you plant the seeds of despotism at your own door. Get familiar with hatred and put chains around others and you prepare your own limbs to wear chains. Accustom yourself to trample and destroy the rights of others. You will become fit subjects of the first cunning tyrant who rises among you. It'll be easy to destroy me, Charles Caldwell, and turn back the demands now for civil rights. But they'll grow stronger, and demands will be born again in another generation. Then no mob will be able to destroy them. A toast to tomorrow, when the whites and Negroes in my state will again try for the civil rights I tried to bring them. Toast.
I am the split second in the year 1875 that marked the time when the glasses were touched and the signal was given and the assassin snapped the life of Charles Caldwell.
I am the year 1875. I was a Reconstruction year. I came with my heroes and my cowards, and I ended the life of Charles Caldwell, a senator who had been a slave and who planted the seed of civil rights in the Mississippi soil.
Oh, freedom over me. And before I'd be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of Charles Caldwell, Negro and Mississippi State Senator during the days of the Reconstruction. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. Senator Caldwell was played by William Nix. Others were Ernie Andrews, Oscar Brown Jr., Don Gallagher, Ken Griffin, Jonathan Hole, Janice Kingslow, Charles Mountain, Art McCoo, Fred Pinkard, and Cliff Sabir. Greg Pascal was the singer. The special music was written by Emil Soderstrom and was played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week for another in our series on the Negro in Democracy, Destination Freedom. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
That was episode 10 of Destination Freedom, the story of 1875, with an original air date of the 29th of August, 1948. Destination Freedom was created and written by Richard Durham. I had no idea about Charles Caldwell, but as an illustrious DJ here on WMFO says, that's why this is Tufts Educational Freeform Radio. Sometimes. You've been listening to Arthur here at the Grand Hour on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. Thanks for listening.